Recording in 3, 2.
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hello, everybody. It's Eddie. Glad you're with us tonight. We are kind of wrapping up our end of the year calls for Monday night. Mr. Matt, you're on with us?
I am on with you. Yes, sir.
All right. How about you, Mr. Mangan? Well, he was with us.
I know.
Yeah. How you doing, Charles? Yes, we can.
Okay. Don't do that, Eddie. I thought I lost you already.
No worries. All right. So I was just telling Matt and Charles that I've been out doing some excursions for the last couple of weeks, kind of out to scouting for us, and we got some really, really, really cool stuff that we're going to be bringing out to you in the very first part of 2015, that some of our little trade shows and masterminds that I participate in, we got some really exciting stuff. Maybe the best ever. We'll see. So, all right, Mr. Matt, let's talk about what we got tonight.
All right. So we've got a couple of different things today. First off, we're going to start off with a performing asset that is in Knoxville, Tennessee, or as they say it properly in the South, Knoxville.
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 All right, so I'm going to go ahead.
How about Maryville? We're with Maryville.
Maryville.
I did a lot of business. Charles and I did a lot of business with Clayton Homes and Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of business. And Maryville is a suburb of Knoxville, and that's where Clayton Homes' office was. And they always said they were from Maryville.
Gotcha. They were real country.
Seemed like it.
They were real country. All right, Matt, you want to pop up the executive summary and we'll get started?
I believe it's up right now if you can't see it.
No, it's, we got your Outlook screen there.
Oh.
I've got the content screen for tonight. I don't have the case study yet.
How's that?
There we go.
All right, beautiful. All right, Charles, tell us what we got.
All right, so we've got a performing note here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Current value is $48,000. Matt, can you make that a little bit bigger? Original sale date on this was in December 2008.
What? Charles, can you read that?
I was just having to kind of squint the eyes a little bit, Eddie. So original sale date was December of 2008. So we've got almost 6 years on this note here. Matures 2023. Down payment, let's see, original sales price was $35,100. It was 100% financing. Hold on a minute here. Matt, we're missing a down payment there, I think.
I did miss to put the down payment on that. Yes, I did. So there.
So they had a pretty good sizable down payment.
Big down payment.
No, yeah. It was the original was 35,100. So I did it is they did
Okay, so it is 100% financing. We just thought we had a big down payment.
27.
Right. Okay. So the loan balance, original balance was 35,100. It was written on a 180-month term at 8.25% rate. Monthly P&I payment of $340.52 with tax insurance of $34.07. Total payment was $387.59. Current UPB is $27,004.29. Our first payment was January of 2009, and next payment due is January of 2015. So we've made 65 payments, and there's 115 payments remaining. So it's a single family, three bedroom, one bath house. Average rent for that market is $583. Loan is current, pays like clockwork. Estimated annual tax is $243.27. Boy, I want that tax rate there from Knoxville.
That's crazy.
That is really low. Anyway, taxes are current. Matt, we'll scroll down and look at this little house here. So this is built on the side of a hill.
Believe not a shocker in Knoxville, is it?
No, it's not uncommon, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Going down there. Alrighty. So it looks like they could have some storage up there in that house in the back there.
It's a little there, but it's not too bad, actually.
Well, again, we're in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can have a lot of rural areas in Knoxville, Tennessee. But again, these borrowers have been paying 6 years.
It's definitely not got a Timbuktu factor as far as I can see.
No, well, right. This is actually, it's kind of right outside of the main city of Knoxville, but it's not at all just desolate over there, so.
Beautiful place, Knoxville, by the way.
A lot of pretty country up there for sure.
The only thing ugly about Knoxville is that hideous orange that they wear at that stadium. Isn't that what the lady said on the movie, The Blind Side?
Yep, that is it.
Yeah.
So we got this note tonight at $22,956 sell price. Be a total of $39,159 total payments, 85% of the UPB, 56% of LTV, 47.83 ITV, and about a little over 12 and a quarter yield to the investor. So, I mean, 65 payments, that's a pretty strong note. And so those borrowers are, you know, oh, here's our BPO. Good deal, Matt. You really don't have to blow this up now. There we go.
That should be good enough for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good up there. So it says the subject is a large suburban area where it's located. So so it just looks rural, but it's actually a suburban area.
Well, it's, you know, a lot of properties were built on some acreage tracts, and as the city's gotten bigger and bigger, kind of the circle has gone out, then all of a sudden it's considered in the city, but it wasn't built that way when the house was built. I'm guessing that house is 50 years old at least.
Oh, I'm sure. Matt, would you show how big the lot is? Do we have to agree acreage with this house?
There's it's 0.112 acres for the lot.
Okay. Built, a little over an acre there. Okay.
It was built 1920, so.
Yeah. So it's 3-bedroom, 1-bath. Comparable sales are all pretty recent there, all fairly close to the subject property. So they've got good comps on the BPO. It's a solid deal. I mean, it's a nice little house, great yield on the note. And the biggest redeeming factor here is it's got 65 monthly payments. Anything else we got on this, Matt? Looks pretty good.
No, we have a due diligence file, so whoever needs it just needs to email in, and we'll send it out to them, and they can make their decision based on that. So,
anybody got any questions on this?
And this is actually out of a new pool that we acquired and just recently boarded. So these are our new loans. You haven't seen these before, and probably won't see it again because these notes are going pretty quick. So. But it is a brand new pool of assets that we have acquired, so it's act fast. I get a lot of emails from people saying, "Where can I see notes?" Well, tonight here it is. Here's a good note right here.
And we had someone ask what the payment monthly payment was, which was
$340.52.
That was Mr. Winberry asking that one.
Yeah.
Good question. So anybody interested, just send me an email at charlesm@colonialfundinggroup.com, and we will get you the due diligence file over for you to review.
All right.
All right. Good looking asset. Lots of possibilities with that.
So the next thing that we are offering is, I believe we were kind of wanting to start showing what partials look like. And so we've got a few assets that we're going to offer partials on, maybe something you could put in your IRA that would get a short return on it. So we've got one. We offered an asset in Muncie, Indiana a couple weeks back, I think, and it sold. But this one's another one in Muncie, Indiana, and I'll go ahead and pull up the executive summary here.
And again, this is a partial that, you know, this is something kind of new we're going to try. We haven't done partials. We showed them on the call before, Eddie, but we've never actually, I think, had a partial up here for sale. So this is actually the full executive summary on the note, because the whole note shows the whole term of the whole note.
It's worth almost $100,000, huh?
Yeah, it's got a great value to it. And the partial, I mean, currently the balance is $36,759. It's the full UPB on this note. There we go, Matt. Let's blow that
nice
up.
So property, see this huh? Wall.
It's not a bad looking house. Definitely not. Definitely got a good, strong asset here as well.
Okay.
You want to look at the comps on this one, Charles?
Yeah, let me just kind of look at the comps. Again, just it's, you know, got a pretty strong value. Comps are very comparable. You know, three ours is 3.1. Rest of them are 4.2s, 4.2.5. But as far as value-wise, I mean, comps have got a pretty, you know, steady sell price there, but they're not REOs. They're actually retail comps, so that's a positive factor there. But it's again, it's a performing note, and we're not selling the whole note. We're going to sell the partial on this asset tonight, or make it available to all of you if you want to, anybody interested in a partial for your IRA.
You want to look at
what do we have, huh?
Nope, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to tell you, let's go back and we'll go back to the executive summary here. And so we're going to sell off 48 months of the partial, Matt?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so let's go down here. So we've got a 48-month partial with asking price of $21,250 on the partial. Total cash payments back to investors, $27,103. Almost a 12.5% yield to the investor.
So they're putting out $21,000 and earning a 12.5% yield annually, and the house is worth $100,000.
Correct.
So
you got a 21.5% ITV. I mean, you got a very minimal investment value on this deal. There's a good picture right there. So that's not a full house. No doubt that house is worth that.
No doubt.
That's a pretty lot.
You know what? I would fund this in my retirement account myself.
But you can't.
I think I already have.
Yeah, well, you have. That's right. Can't fund them both, can you, Eddie?
So I think Eddie's already bought this deal.
Think he has. It's a very nice asset, I think. And but again, it's something new. We talk about partials, but we're always putting books up here on the fools, but we've never put a partial note up here. But this is something we're going to look at doing, is maybe start putting some partials up there if anybody's interested in them for their IRA or just to buy them. That's what we want you to do. So
this is the same thing here. This is a great coupon clipper right here. They don't come any better than this one.
So quick question came in from Bob saying, who pays servicing costs and other expenses?
The buyer pays the servicing. When I bought the loan, they made me pay the servicing costs. So when you buy the partial, you pay the servicing costs. That's how it works. That's an industry standard. All right, what else we got?
All right, we have a few questions that have come in, so I'll get out of these and get to those. And let's actually see if these people are on the call. And all right, so our first question, the person who's asked the question is not on the call, but we'll go ahead and ask the question and see if we can't get them to ask the or to go on online and listen to it a little bit later. So,
okay.
So the first question is, in your opinion, what is the best way to structure a partnering deal that would allow me to get some cash in the front end and possibly something in the back end as well? I'm thinking
show
that
me the deal.
I'm sorry?
Show me the deal.
So the following part is, I'm thinking that if I have a funding partner who wants 10% yield and I source a note from Colonial Funding selling at 12, then my profit up front would be the 2-point difference.
Could be.
Okay.
I've done that like 30,000 times.
So my partner will get the full P&I payment every month, which would yield him the 10 that he wants. If the loan pays off early, then there is also some equity available between the actual note balance and the discount of what we purchased it for. I'm guessing that can belong to me as well, since I sourced the note. Is that correct? Am I thinking along the right lines, or is there a better way to do this type of deal?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it, okay? But, you know, buying a note for $10,000 and selling it for $13,000 is a great way to start building your capital base. And that's what I've done in a lot of my career, you know. So, you know, it's one thing that I really want to be specific about. I want to be careful that, you know, when somebody asks us a generic question, it's like, you know, do some homework, put some stuff together, show a specific asset. What are my options with it? So while I have no problem with answering a generic question, really, in all honesty, it's just this is a generic question. Can I buy a note at one price and sell it at another? I've done it 30,000 times. You know, but let's go get some specific case studies, and they can be assets that we offer. And then we'll beat them up, beat it up, and talk about it.
All right.
Okay.
And I think they actually have a case study that someone is going to be bringing to the call on this Thursday. So everybody
okay.
wants.
Perfect.
So they're going to actually give an option for that this Thursday. So, and just to kind of go back, Lisa was asking, what are the possibilities of you offering that partial as a full note? Sell.
Zero.
Yeah, that's Lisa. It's, that's just a partial. I mean, we're only going to sell the
partial. It's a partial. It's a 12.5 yield. Somebody ought to jump on and buy it. You know, if it doesn't fit your box, we're totally okay with it. No hard feelings, but we're not. We're only selling a partial. This is part of a package. It's a long story. It's one of these deals where you kiss a lot of frogs to get a prince, and so we think somebody ought to jump on it at a 12.5 yield. Great question. Absolutely got no issue with asking.
Jason, you had your hand raised. Did you have a question?
Accident, I'm sorry.
Ah, gotcha. We're going to put that back on mute then. So. All right, so we've got a question that is coming in. I believe the next one's from Pat. And that is, she's kind of wanting to get into the nitty-gritty on a buying title insurance. And this is a couple of times this question has actually come up, so I wanted to make sure to highlight it on the call. And that is, when they purchase a note, Is it needed to purchase new title insurance? And if so, when or how soon or what's the logistics on that?
All right, good question. When we buy these land contracts, when we buy them, we don't buy new title insurance, okay? It's become an industry standard that if you got a solid title search, you just buy the land contract with no new title policy. If you want to buy it with a title policy, you can do that, okay? So it's not that you can't do it, it's just the question is it necessary? In Charles and I's mind, or in our executive team's mind, we bought them and we think we don't need a new title policy. We think we understand the element of reading the title commit the title search that we have, and we just don't think we need a new one. Land contracts, when you buy them, what happens is you're buying the position in title. So what you've really got is at the point you buy it, the ownership is with who? At the time you buy a land contract, it's with the seller of the property. So in this case, Colonial, or whatever entity owns these assets, has taken ownership of the property and an assignment of the land contract. So when we sell an asset to an investor, Colonial signs a deed to the buyer. And along with that, we want to make sure that we understand the condition of taxes and the condition of title. Okay? We bought these assets and we always get a good solid title search. Now, do you need a new title search if you're going to buy them? If we're buying a loan that has a title search within 60 days or so, in my mind, if I were buying them, I don't think I'd ask for a new title search. If you want to go get them with a new title search, absolutely go do that. No problem.
I always call the counties too and get updated taxes. So it's not, you know, if you want to update your title search like Andy just said, you can. But, you know, generally what we see change would be taxes generally. So, I mean, that's not anything you do.
And people worry because on the non-performing notes side, a house sells for taxes, and it's not necessarily reported at the tax office that way, right? These are performing notes, and we know the condition of taxes. So when we bought them, we made sure we knew the condition of taxes. And you can go ask the taxing authority any subsequent changes. So there is a different risk element in title and taxes on performing notes that there's not on non-performing notes. Obviously it's less on performing notes. So, but, you know, so the answer is, if you wanted a belt and suspenders, okay, I mean, you wanted to be buttoned up, there's nothing you could go buy an owner's title policy when you buy these land contracts. That's not what we do. And we've been doing it a long time. We've got crazy experience, and we found that that's not necessary. But legally, could you do it? Of course, you absolutely could go do it. We're not going to pay for it, but you can go do it. Great question. Great, 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 great question.
All right. Let's go back up here real quick. And this is actually a question from the same person who had offered one a little bit earlier. They're not on the call, but we'll ask this. And is it okay to market notes that are currently on tapes from Colonial Funding Group to my investors if I don't yet own any of them? Or do I actually have to own the note first before I can turn around and sell them? I want to make sure that I don't break any SEC brokerage laws.
Well, it ain't about SEC, it's about you keeping a relationship with Colonial, okay? So if you go take a note that we show a mentor student and you go throw it out there and shop it to a bunch of investors, we're going to have a serious problem with that, okay? if you have unique investors that you're showing a note to a investor that you have a relationship with, okay, then we will consider that on a case-by-case basis. But we are not showing you these notes so that you can go blast them out on the internet or go blast them out. That when you sign an NDA, you're saying you're not releasing any of this information. Now, if somebody's unclear about what the mechanics are, they need to bring this back to the call, and we'll go through there and kind of talk about what's acceptable to us and what's not acceptable to us. Have we ever experienced in our whole life a student that took notes that they gathered from our private offering here, and all of a sudden we wake up and they shotgunned them? Yes, we have. How do we feel about that? Not good. That ain't gonna work. So it's a smart question, and we just have to, you know, I mean, if you have a unique investor, if you have a unique scenario where your investor signed an NDA and you're showing it to like one investor, you know, might we sign off on that? Yeah, we probably might sign off on that. But I'm not going to generically say that just because you see them on this call, you can go run out there and just do whatever you want to with them. Everybody good with that? Everybody clear about what I'm really saying there? There's a distinction between, there's a judgment factor, right? All right, Matt, what, you got anything else?
Well, just a couple of announcements. This is the last Monday night performing note call for the series. In order to register for the next series, which is going to begin January 5th, then you need to go to the website and actually go on to I believe it's on the home page, but and I can have Zarina explain this a little bit better, but. You just go on there and just register for the new series, and I believe we're also going to send out a new email blast, so you should be able to register from the email blast, or you can just go onto the website and then register for new mods and new webinars from there. So, but yeah, we will begin back this series. I believe it's the 5th, if I'm not mistaken. And a couple of questions that came up based on the assets. And that is Bob Brenton was asking Charles if you could repeat the email address that he needs to email you in regards to the assets.
I'll do that, Bob. It's Charles Helm, as in Mary, at Colonial Funding Group. .com.
Right. And we actually have a hand up as well, so we're going to go back to Patricia if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hi, Patricia.
Hello. Look, I emailed it in, but apparently I must have sent it to the wrong address or something. How much do you all charge to evaluate notes for our IRAs, the Roths requiring it?
Bob had a couple of those.
Charles.
It's $100 per evaluation.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have some forms that we need to fill out or something, or just in
there? There is a process. You know where to send them, Charles?
Did we lose Charles?
Yeah. Look, just
I'll respond. I just want to find out the process for you.
Oh. All right, so just email Charles, charlesm@colonialfundinggroup.com.
Okay.
I know that we have a link. We have a whole submission process that we've developed. And so go send that in to Charles, and he'll go connect you in the right spot.
Thank you. Happy holidays, everybody.
Same to you. Thank you. All right.
All right. And there was a question that came in from Larry Pinsack, who was asking about the partial. Would the full $500 transaction fee apply to a partial as well as it would a full note, or would it be discounted?
Yeah. Totally same scenario. I hope everybody's clear. When that we charge that $500 fee, everybody understands that we're going through Orion. So is Colonial making $500? No. It's the same process whether we're selling a full or a partial as far as what we do with Orion. And it's the cleanest, safest, best scenario in the world. And I can tell you from running a note shop for my whole life, you'll never close a deal and walk out of there scot-free and get it out any cheaper than $500. I'm not saying Larry's saying you can't. I'm just saying I'm trying to clarify that. I know a lot of people are like, well, Colonial's making $500. Well, that's – Charles, is that how that works?
I wish it was that easy, Eddie, but no. We get billed for dot prep and transfers, and, you know, we get paid fee. I mean, we get charged fees to transfer these notes, so it's not like it's cost-free to us. So I'm glad you brought that up, Eddie, because I know sometimes people think, well, you know, $500, wow, that's a lot of money. It's actually not Colonial doesn't make that $500 because we do have processing fee and document fee, prepare assignments, quick claim. All those documents are prepared by a legal team with Orion. So, I mean, you can trust that the documents are out of book. There's no doubt about that.
All our students are blowing up our Q&A down here saying, you're right, you're right, you're right. So. They've now traded notes somewhere else, and they found out that we're totally right about that. So, I don't know, but it's a good question. No worries. Is there a rule of thumb to tell a note a good candidate for selling partials, or is, you know, Gary, you just have to play with it. You just have to play with the numbers, and that's what the purpose of this call is. One thing that I will tell you, a lot of the case studies where you've seen us, like you've seen Ryan or Travis or all these Mahmood or all these different guys that crafted these deals where they bought the whole note, sold a partial, and did all this kind of stuff, all this was solved on Monday nights. Every bit of this stuff was solved on Monday nights. In fact, if you're an old note school student, you've seen it just bang around there. So bring specific, do your homework. You know, I'm not going to go do it for you. Do your homework, position it as a case study, and we absolutely will bang it around and show you different options that you can do on Monday night. Okay? Okay, so guys, let's talk about 2015. Those of you that are brand new with us, brand new mentor students, we've got a mountain of webinars already taped that you can go back and archive a little bit and listen to some of the concepts. So some of us that have like been out there in the trenches every day, we usually take a couple of weeks off at the end of the year. I just finished my 26th 3-day class with Dwayne and crew and Kevin and all those guys, Ben, Rachel, Chuck, this last Sunday night. So we kind of have to recharge our batteries a little bit, and I don't think anybody's confused or about that. But there's a ton of archive stuff. If you're brand new, there's tons of stuff that you're going to be able to get through and work. And a couple of things about 2015. Bob and I have just cut a deal for a guy that owns 2,500 houses that are not occupied and 2,500 houses that are already sold under a lease option. All, both of these would be phenomenal models for the 50-50 model, okay? So I've drawn a big line in the sand with everybody, and I've said, I am not going to go invent case studies for you. If you bring specific deals to the table, specific issues, we're going to beat this up in every possible way to help you see what all the options are. But I'm not just going to make stuff up. So this is like a college class. You don't go bring something to the table, we're not going to cover it. So the onus is on you to bring stuff to the table. Matt is sitting on point, really trying to focus on everything he needs to do to help you put this together. Matt does a great job of helping you coordinate a case study. But 2015, my two biggest hot buttons are getting you buying a note and either borrowing money against the note or selling the note on a partial on a performing note, and then also the 50-50 model. So I cannot encourage you enough that, you know, this is how it works. Your job is to bring us specific data to the table and let us show you how to carve it up. And there's some incredible opportunities. Matt, I know you got one more question here on a partial. Let's go through that before we hang up. Oh, I'm trying a partial on the note that showed an interest rate. So if the interest rate's 11 and a quarter, there's tons of ways you can, that's not really an issue. I mean, if the note rate's 11 and a quarter, that doesn't mean you have to sell the note at 11 and a quarter yield to the investor. You can sell the partial to an investor at a 7% yield. You don't have to hit the interest rate on the note. So there's tons of opportunities with that. Once again, that's a great scenario for a case study. But, you know, it's going to be most helpful when we look at the specific deal. All right, Mr. Mangan, what else?
Eddie, I think that's it for this evening.
Okay, guys. So once again, kind of going into finishing out the year, those of you that are new, brand new, and you're like, well, I just got the mentor program in the last month, and listen, we got tons of archive calls. So we got tons of data, tons of information. I couldn't encourage you enough to kind of make sure that you stay, keep your head in the game while we're doing this. We have historically take a couple of weeks off towards the end of the year. We will have calls tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then we'll be off until first part of January. First part of January, I'm going to tell you, on a go-forward basis, the 50-50 model, you could not be aggressive enough in presenting us stuff unless beating up what it's going to take to make this work, as well as some partials and just evaluating overall, do you buy a note, do you not buy a note, okay? Any other questions, Matt, somebody's got before we hang up? Did we lose Matt?
What? I think we lost Matt.
As you can tell, I was getting a little siren action starting to come, so you know, I don't want you to think that I'm in trouble or anything out here.
That's
so.
Good enough, Matt.
Yeah. well, you know, I did, but anyway. Couple of things. Lisa was just wanting to kind of point out to anyone who is a new student that it is beneficial to do mock due diligence. So we do have these pools that are still up there, or these pools that are in the bottom part of the pool offerings, so that you can see what we actually have offered. And you can go through those files and do what she was considering mock due diligence for these pools that are going to start coming out in January. So that was a little piece of suggestion, which never hurts to do practice. And the question, and this is a question that kind of goes back to a bottom end of this, and that's whenever you show a partial to someone, are you showing them the full note, Is there part of it that you can show them? Are you obligated them to show everything? What's the best practice as far as selling a partial to an investor so that, you know, you're fair to them, but you're also fair to your own yield?
Well, the answer is, do you, I mean, listen, the hard money lending business has been doing this for years. Hard money lending will have a note. I mean, Charles ran the hard money lending department for Homevestors at one time. Okay, so Charles will tell you, you can write a note at 14% interest with 3 points and sell it to an investor at 11% yield. So just because the interest rate on the note is 11.25% doesn't mean you have to give the investor 11.25% yield, and particularly on a partial. So it's not that you're hiding the note from them. It's just that's just not what's being offered available. So, Matt, I'm gonna let you cover kind of the mock due diligence thing and give some people. I think all of that stuff is available on the membership site. I'm on a significant mission to make sure that people know and are clear about how to use the membership site. So that may be something that you pass on to Zarina and let her, you know, make sure that we're answering those questions correctly.
Okay. And for anyone who wants to know, the easiest way, I mean, I've got Matt at Colonial and Matt at Note School. So the shortest one is just matt@noteschool.com. And right. Always, you can just email me, and I usually try to get back with you within the day. So
let me just tell you this. Some of the things that I will tell you guys, though, if you'll just start looking at the membership site, there's a myriad of things that are like frequently asked questions and stuff. And so just make sure before you, we don't mind you're asking questions, but just make sure that you're looking on the membership site, because we've already answered a lot of these questions a whole bunch of times, and I know you guys are good at research, and you know, we're just trying to create an efficient, scalable model to make it work. All right, here's the deal. Happy holidays. Myself, a lot of you guys are going to be doing traveling. I ask for blessings on your travel. If you're new and you're looking for something to do over the next couple of weeks, we got a mountain of back stuff that is archived you're going to be able to get through. We're going to be live back with you January 5th. Is that right, Matt?
I believe that's the case, yes, sir.
Safe travels. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. And we will see you here very soon. Good night.
Good night.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you.